7. Talk about tonight the necessity of faith. And you'll kind of see where we're going once we get started tonight. But once you find your place there in Mark chapter 11, we'll all stand as reverence to the Word of God tonight as we read. We're going to read a couple of verses from verse 12 down through verse number 14. And then we're going to have a little skip over a little bit right there and go on down to verse number 20. And you'll understand that also here in just a moment. All right, let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 12. The Bible says this, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany," this is Jesus and His disciples, "they were come from Bethany, He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it." And then verse 15 down through verse 19 is the cleansing of the temple as Jesus entered in. But we're going to go right on down to verse number 20 to finish out the rest of this portion of Scripture. And it says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree," the same one that Jesus had spoken to, "the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." In verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to come apart and to gather together in the middle of the week. Father, we thank you for the refreshing we receive as we come and gather together here with your people. And Father, we look forward to what you have in store for us tonight. God, I pray that you'd use me simply as your vessel tonight, God, to carry forth that which you would have to deliver to each of our hearts tonight. And Father, I pray that you'll be with the preaching of the Word of God tonight and grant liberty. And we ask these things now in Christ's name, and we'll be certain that you receive the glory and the honor for anything that's accomplished. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So you'll notice tonight we skipped over a few verses there, and it's really because that's kind of a little interlude in between what we're going to be talking about tonight. So those verses really don't have a lot to do with this particular portion that we're dealing with. So that's why we skipped over those verses tonight. If you read those, it's Jesus going into the temple, throwing out the money changers and all of that. But what we're talking about tonight is this fig tree and what Jesus had to say to his disciples about faith. And so I want you to just kind of get the picture with me tonight. We've got Jesus and his disciples. They come out and Jesus is hungry. He comes out and he sees this fig tree afar off, and he walks up to this fig tree and he expects, when he gets to that fig tree, to find fruit. And we know that it didn't really take Jesus by surprise that there was no fruit on it, right? This was all for the disciples' sake, so that they could see. And there was something he wanted to get across to his disciples here. So when he gets to that fig tree and he finds there's no fruit on it, he says, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever," speaking to that fig tree. So he's saying, hey, this you're never going to bear fruit again. And notice it says, and the disciples heard it. So he said this so they could hear. That's the whole reason this was said. And there was something he wanted to prove to them here. And so then they go through, and now Jesus goes into the temple in Jerusalem, and he casts out the money changers, and he has a little conversation with his disciples about that. But now in verse 20, they come back out, and it says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So now, what Jesus said, "You'll never bear fruit again," has actually come to pass. Just from His Word, just from that spoken Word that Christ spoke. And now, notice Peter's response. That Peter's always the one that's getting himself into trouble with his mouth. And now here's Peter, and he says basically this: "Look, Lord, it really happened. Hey, what you said actually came to pass." You notice there he says that in verse 21, "Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." As though Jesus didn't know that was exactly what was going to happen. But it was almost as though it took the disciples by surprise that what Jesus said was going to come to pass actually did come to pass. And I don't know if you've ever had some moments like that in your prayer life and in your life as a Christian, as you walk with the Lord and God speaks to you and He says, this is what's going to happen. And then you say, well, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, right? That's kind of the way a lot of times we think. And so I think about that, and for me, I can think about, I'll give you an illustration tonight just to give us a little bit of a direction where we're going tonight. So For me, I had prayed when we arrived there in Rogers, Arkansas. We were there for a period of time, and believe it or not, my greatest concern about moving to Rogers, Arkansas was I'll not be able to be involved in ministry like I was back in North Carolina, because nobody knows me in Rogers, Arkansas. There's nothing, I have nobody that is aware of the ministry I've had in North Carolina, so here I am going to show up in Rogers, and who in the world in their right mind is going to have me stand behind a pulpit and preach? Who in the world is going to put me teaching a Sunday school class? They don't know who I am. And so I come in, and I have very low expectations. God allowed us to get plugged into the church rather quickly. But over a course of time of about a year being there, I really made it a serious matter of prayer that I felt God was leading us to be in full-time ministry. And I prayed. I rose early many mornings, and I'd rise and I'd pray and just pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, would you please just open the door so that we can be full-time in ministry? This is where my heart is." You know, I was having opportunities for growth at work, but it just wasn't where my heart was. My heart was in ministry. And so through the course of time, after a period of time, I can remember I approached my wife and I said, "Honey, I feel like God has just confirmed." This was long about October, November. And I approached my wife and I said, "Honey, I feel like God is going to open the door for us to go into full-time ministry. And I'll tell you what, if by January we don't have something, I feel like I'm going to step aside from work and we're just going to pursue this thing full-time." And at the time, not really knowing what God had in store. But I felt that God had spoken to my heart and said, "I want you in full-time ministry and I'm going to open the door." And at this time, I knew the finances of the church at least enough to know that there was not the finances to be able to support me full-time in ministry. And so it wasn't just about a week later. And I'll tell you, when God spoke that to my heart, I thought, "Yeah, I believe it when I see it." That was kind of my thought. Lord, I know you said this was going to come to pass. Lord, I really feel in my heart you've given me peace that this is the direction you're going to take our life. But God, I just don't see how it's going to happen. Well, it was just a couple of weeks later, and a pastor and his wife gave me a call one afternoon and said, "Hey, could you meet us for supper tonight?" And I said, "Well, sure." And we went out to supper, not with any great expectation of what was going to pass. And even on the way over there, I remember my wife and I were talking about the possibility of us at some point being in full-time ministry, never thinking this meeting had anything whatsoever to do with it. But then as we sat down to supper that night, a pastor approached me and he said, "Look, I want to present something to you." He said, "I've had someone in the church that's come forward and they said they would like for you to be in a full-time position at the church. And they have volunteered to pay your salary for the first 18 months of the time that you're there at the church." And you can imagine, I just about jumped up and ran out of the restaurant, because this was not at all what I was expecting. But God brought it to pass. And believe it or not, God knew that was there all the time. God knew exactly what He was preparing to do, and He had already spoke to my heart and told me the direction He was ready to take my life, but I just had a lot of trouble believing it was going to come to pass. But I can tell you this, God began to work when I stepped out on faith. Now, at this point, I hadn't left my job or anything yet, but I had already told my wife. I said, "Hey, look, if we're not full-time in ministry by January, I'm going to leave the job. We're going to step out on faith and just trust God." I'd already made that decision. And it was from that decision, I believe, that God really began to work on the other side. And so I want to tell you tonight the necessity of faith. We look at this passage of Scripture, and it's almost as though the disciples are surprised at what Jesus was able to do. They had very little faith that what He said was actually going to come to pass. And it took them by surprise when they walked out and they saw this fig tree and it was already dead from the roots up. But now notice Jesus' response. He says this, "Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." So He knew it was a faith problem for them. So He speaks to His disciples and He says, "Have faith in God." And this is a familiar passage. You find it in just about all of the Gospels. In verse 23, He says, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, these things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith." So you ask tonight, do you really believe that we could believe that a mountain could be removed and be placed into the sea and it could actually happen? Well, it says it right there in the Word of God, so frankly, I have no choice but to believe it. I'll take it on faith that if that were what God's will was for that mountain to be removed and to be placed into the sea, I'm going to take it by faith that it would actually happen. Right before my very eyes, because that's what the Word of God tells me. But tonight, we've got a problem, you and I. Because if you haven't noticed, out here in New Mexico, I've not seen yet any mountains in this area. Now, if you go a little bit further west, you might run into some. But from where I'm standing on my front porch and on my back porch, and I'm pretty sure if I climbed up on the roof, I can't see any mountains. And even furthermore, I don't see anything that whatsoever resembles a sea. I see a lot of dry ground. So this is going to be a problem for us because this is not what God's asking of us, right? The point here is not that the mountain could be removed and placed into the sea, but the point is this, that the things which we believe to be impossible are absolutely possible with God. And so tonight, what I want you to do at the onset of the message tonight, I want you to think about personally in your life that thing that's on your heart tonight. We just had a few moments of prayer requests, and I want you to think about those things in your heart and in your life tonight that you say, well, I'd sure like to see God do that, but I don't have a clue how it could happen. I don't know what that is for you. For all of us, it's probably something different. But there's something right now that you think about, boy, I wish God would do this in my life. I wish God would do this in the life of my loved one. I wish God would do this in someone's life. But I just can't see how it could happen. Friend, tonight I want you to trust God for that. I want you to believe God for that. And I want you to look here in Scripture and see what the Scripture has to say about it. The first thing I want us to see here, and I want to give you a quote to start out. Faith is not only believing that God can, but it's us acting as though He will. That's the difference in real faith and just a feigned faith. I like what Paul said to Timothy, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That was a faith that moved Timothy to action. He believed that God could use him. He believed God wanted to do something with his life. And I want to tell you here tonight that if that thing, whatever it is, there's something God's going to use you to do to see that come to pass. Or He'll use someone else. But tonight, what I want to get across to you is that God responds directly to our faith. God works when we look at the miracles that were performed in Scripture, when we look at God and He works throughout the course of history, He's always worked in response to the faith of His people. Whether that was with the children of Israel, whether that was with the disciples, or whoever it is that we're looking at in Scripture, God works in direct response to your faith and my faith. And the faith of His people. Now I want to take you, we're not going to look for sake of time tonight at the Scriptures, but let me go ahead and tell you tonight, in the book of Matthew, no less than 5 times it's recorded in the book of Matthew, where Jesus says something along these lines. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. He says, as thy faith, so be it unto thee. He says, if thou believest, thou mayest. 5 times in the book of Matthew. But it doesn't end there. 3 more times in the book of Mark. And then another 6 times in the book of Luke. So that's 14 times we find just in the Gospels alone that Jesus Christ worked a miracle, a miraculous thing that people would have said was impossible. Whether it was the curing of a leper. Excuse me. The curing of a leper. The opening of the blinded eyes, the raising of one that was lame, but these things that men knew to be impossible. Up until this point in history, there had no leper been cured. Up until this point in history, as far as we can tell, there had no blinded eyes been opened. Up until this point in history, we don't see that anyone lame had been made to walk. But now, as we see in the Gospels, we see Jesus Christ works in direct response to the faith of those who came to Him. They came to Him with an issue that, with men, seemed impossible. But I believe that Scripture is still true today when it says, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. So I want to tell you tonight, Jesus works in direct response to our faith. God will not work in our lives to bring about that thing which we think to be impossible until we can truly come to a place where we believe that He can do it. And not only do we believe that He can do it, we begin to take a step of faith in that direction. For me, it was full-time ministry. And I'd already made that step. I said, God, I believe this is what You want for my life, and I'm going to begin to take that step towards that direction. And it was then that God began to work. if I could have stayed there, and I really believe that had I just come to a conclusion and said, well, I don't see it. The timing's not now. I can't imagine how this is going to happen. So I'm just going to, I'll tell you what has happened. I was working as basically an assistant to the engineers in my company, in the company that I was working for. And my boss had already approached me multiple times, and he said, look, what I want to do, we want to send you back to school. We want you to get your engineering degree so that we can move you on up the ladder. And I had that opportunity. But time and time again, I turned him down because I knew this is not what God has for my life. God wants me in ministry. And hey, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I believe it's the devil that puts those opportunities in our path. And says, hey, boy, if I can get him as an engineer, there's no way he's going to preach the gospel and be an engineer. And hey, how many people may never be won to Christ? How many folks may never be impacted with the preaching of the Word of God because I made a wrong choice to follow my own will and my own desire rather than following the will of God? But I've stepped out on faith. There came a point in my life that I stepped out on faith. And probably you've had some moments in your life already up to this point where you've stepped out on faith, trusted God for something that seemingly was impossible, and then watched God work. Hey, I'll tell you, driving on the way out here, I'm sitting there in that moving truck and I'm thinking, here I am, 32 years old and getting ready to become the pastor of a wonderful church. I think, what in the world? How did I come to this place? And then I understand it's God. And just a willingness to step out on faith. It's not because I was anything special, but it's because He's so good and He wants to work in our lives and He wants to work in those situations that are impossible. At least that seem to be impossible. He wants to work in those situations, but many times He's waiting for us to take a step of faith. So friend, tonight, I don't know what your impossible situation is, but let me tell you tonight, God wants to work in that situation, but you are going to have to take a step of faith. God's not going to begin to work until you take that step of faith. But now let me go a little further here, because I want us to see not only the fact that God responds to our faith, but believe it or not, our lack of faith can limit God. You say, well, I thought God was limitless, and you're absolutely right. God is limitless. His power is almighty. There is nothing truly that can limit God, but God chooses to work through us. And He waits on us to take those steps of faith. And let's look in a passage of Scripture here. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, and we'll find the story of the children of Israel. And we see here in Scripture plainly spelled out for us that God was limited due to a lack of faith on the part of His people. Psalm chapter 78, and look with me in verse number 41. And I encourage you to read this whole chapter because it's still, I marvel at the fact of after all that the children of Israel had seen, that yet they weren't willing to trust God. But when I marvel at that, I begin to think about my own life and say, I'm no different. I could look back on my life and see victory after victory that God has brought. And yet still, when God asked me to take that step of faith, there's still a measure of doubt. And I say, I'm not sure I'm ready to do this. So friend, we're no different. But now notice what the Bible says about the children of Israel here in verse number 41. It says in verse number 41, and it's talking about, as here they were preparing to cross into the promised land. But notice what happened in verse number 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And notice what it says, and limited the Holy One of Israel. So what was it truly that limited God? Was it the fact that God could not give them the promised land? Was it the fact that God could not grant them victory over the enemies that lie there in the promised land? Certainly not. God had already, previous to this, had promised Moses, had promised Joshua, had promised the children of Israel, this land is already yours. You've just got to go in and claim it. But now here we find they turn back. But you just imagine, here they are. They've come through this wilderness journey and they've made their way in just a few days to the very precipice of entering into the promised land. Here they stand at the River Jordan. Over across the other side is that land that God has promised. That land they already know due to the report of the spies that flows with milk and honey. But they also know because of the report of the spies, there are giants in the land. There's a great foe. There's going to be opposition. So they have a choice to make. Do we trust God and cross this Jordan? Or do we turn back in fear? And what happened is they turned back in fear. Under Moses' leadership, here they are, and they turned back in fear. And he said, we cannot take them. They're too great for us. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. What are we thinking to think that we could conquer this land? In so doing, they limited God from doing that which He desired to do. Hey, I fully believe that God, had they took the step of faith and began to cross that Jordan, He would have absolutely handed that land over to those people while they were under Moses' leadership. But they turned back in fear. And the Bible says clearly they limited God. And it was because of not the fear, but the lack of faith. They did not believe that God could allow them to conquer that land. So it's a lack of faith. If you'll read through the Gospels, the disciples weren't much different. I looked and recorded several times in the book of Matthew chapter 8 as one of the first, the disciples were rebuked because of their lack of faith in the midst of the storm. Jesus got on the boat and His disciples followed Him. And here they are. He's already told them, we're going across to the other side. And now the winds begin to be boisterous and there begins to be a storm. And the disciples are scared to death. And the disciples run to Him and they say, Lord, You've got to do something. We're not going to make it to the other side. And you know what Jesus' response was? O ye of little faith. Basically saying this, hey, I already told you we're going to go to the other side. Do you not believe Me? Do you not trust Me enough to go with Me to the other side? Even in the midst of the storm? I believe that's what God says to us sometimes. Hey, here you find yourself in the midst of the storm. God's already promised you you'll see the other side, but sometimes we have trouble seeing it. Sometimes we're the same as those disciples. And Jesus has to say to us, and God says to us, O ye of little faith! But then again we find it, I think of Peter. And boy, many want to slay Peter because Peter began to sink. But the fact I always think about is, hey, he was the only one willing to step out. I didn't see any of those other guys stepping out of the boat. But here's Peter, and he steps out of the boat, and he begins to walk to Jesus, and no doubt to his own amazement, he's walking on the water as he goes to Jesus. But here again, hey, let me tell you, you'll see a common theme in Scripture. When you step out on faith, the storms arise. When you step out on faith and you're getting ready to do something great for God, just know there's going to be opposition, there's going to be storms that come your way to try to discourage you, try to get you off the path. But now, Peter steps out of the boat. He's walking on the water, headed to Jesus. He's looking into the very face of Jesus, God in the flesh. But what happens? All of a sudden, he begins to sink when he sees the winds boisterous and the waves begin to roll high, and he begins to sink. You know what Jesus' response was to him there? The same as it was to them as they were in the midst of the storm before. O ye of little faith. He says, Peter, don't you believe Me? Don't you trust Me, Peter? I've already told you, come to Me. Peter said, hey, if it be You, Lord, let me come and walk to You. And Jesus Christ Himself, God in the flesh, said, come to Me. But Peter says, I don't know if I'm going to make it. He saw the winds and he saw the waves, and all of a sudden he got his eyes off of the one he should have been focused on. And his faith began to fail, and he began to sink. And Jesus grabbed him by the hand and said, O ye of little faith. Then again, we find it as the disciples were working to cast out. They had already cast out many demons, but now here they come to one and they're not able. For whatever reason, they can't do it. They just can't accomplish the task this time. And again, Jesus said, it's because of your lack of faith that you were not able to do this. So friend, over and over again, a lack of faith limits what God wants to do. God wanted to take them across to the other side, but God was limited. Now, He did eventually get them to the other side, but not without their whining and complaining and crying out. But hey, He wanted to take them safely to the other side. Hey, the same is true for Peter. Jesus Christ wanted Peter to walk all the way to Him, but it was limited because of his lack of faith. No doubt God wanted those demons to be cast out by the disciples, but God was limited because of a lack of faith. But I say that, and I've got to be careful with words, because it's really not a lack of faith. Can I tell you tonight what it is? We're going to look at one more thing tonight. Because first of all, we need to understand God works in response to our faith. If you'll have faith, hey, the Scripture's clear. That mountain can be removed and placed into the sea if you have faith and you have no doubt. I just believe Scripture that's true. But I notice that He works in response to faith. I notice that a lack of faith will limit what God wants to do in our lives. Hey, I think about here at High Plains Baptist Church. What do you believe God can do here? Hey, I look around and there's a few empty seats tonight. Hey, I just believe tonight that God could fill every single one of those. But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to step out on faith. We're going to have to believe God for some things. We're going to have to trust God for some things. And He'll use you and me to fill these seats. I don't think if we pray tonight and we don't do anything that on Sunday every seat's going to be full. I don't think that's how it works. I think what God's asking is, hey, what will you do to fill a seat? What can you do to fill that seat that's next to you? So will you step out on faith and follow me and do what I've asked you to do? Hey, it's God's will to grow His church. I believe that. That's what Scripture tells us. Hey, He says, that my house may be full. Hey, He said, go out of the highways and hedges. So, hey, He's asked us to do that. But do you really believe that? Do you believe tonight that God could fill every one of these seats? Because, hey, if there's a doubt in our mind, guess what? It's not going to happen. But if we can believe Him, and then we'll step out on faith as though He wants to, as though He will do it, I believe God can do it. But moving on tonight, I want to take us to one last thing, because it's really not a lack of faith that limited God in these instances. Let me tell you what the root of the problem was. And I didn't notice this until I really began to study as I was studying and preparing for this message. And I couldn't help but think about in Scripture where the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. They said, God, we want more faith. Will you just show us how to have it? But you know what? Jesus didn't answer and say, well, this is how you have more faith. That's not how He answered them. Instead, He said, if you had faith. He said, look, you just got to have faith. It's not about an increase in faith. The problem is this. You and I have all of the faith we need to accomplish anything God wants us to do. The Bible is clear. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, that God has given to every man a measure of faith. So then why tonight is everybody not saved? Because it's where you place that faith. That's the key in all of this. The key is this, that it's not a lack of faith so much as it is a misplaced faith. You know the reason there are so many outside tonight that are not in church, that don't care a thing about God tonight? Because their faith is in themselves, or their faith is in something else outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that they don't have faith. All of us have faith. You had faith tonight that when you sat down, that chair was going to hold you up. Now for some of us it takes more faith than others. But the fact is, we all had the faith when we sit down in this chair tonight, it was going to hold us up. All of us have a measure of faith. The question is, where will you place that faith? That was the problem with the children of Israel as they were preparing to enter the promised land. Their faith, rather than being in the God who had already promised He would give the victory, their faith was in what they could do. They looked around and they looked at the army and said, you know what, guys? We're a pretty sorry looking bunch compared to that crowd. I mean, we're just kind of like grasshoppers. And they're giants. Said, there's no way. The problem was not that they didn't have faith. It was that their faith had been misplaced. They'd placed it in what they could do, refusing to see what God wanted to do. Friend, that's our problem. That was the same problem for the disciples. They refused to see that they had placed their faith in themselves. I think about as they were there trying to cast out those demons. I can't help but think that the problem was this. They had done it so many times before. And now they come to it and they just expected, hey, we go, we say the words, demons go out, it's done. And maybe it had kind of become commonplace and they had begun to trust in what they could do. They said, well, yeah, we can cast that demon out. You just bring him on over to us. We'll do it. Anybody ever been there before? Yep. Hey, I've been there as a preacher before. God blesses and you see God work and then all of a sudden you get lifted up with pride and you say, boy, I'm really going to preach a message tonight. You just wait. And then I realized, hey, my faith has been misplaced. I should have placed it in Him just like I did before. But now, hey, the disciples had misplaced the faith in what they could do. And they didn't realize it was God that could do it. And so, friend, tonight I want to tell you, it's not so much a lack of faith that's going to limit what God does in our lives, so much as it is the fact that we misplace our faith. The moment you begin to trust in what you can do, you set yourself up for failure. But the moment I begin to look to Him and say, God, if it's going to get done, You're going to have to do it. Hey, I used to think this. When I came on staff as an assistant pastor, I thought, man, I'm going to get to work. I'm going to grow this church. Man, you just wait and see what God does. It didn't take very long for God to humble me. And He took me to a verse of Scripture and He says, unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Hey, let me tell you, you and I are not going to build High Plains Baptist Church. I can't do it. You can't do it. There's not a one of us here, and there's not a preacher or a pastor across this country that can do it. But God can. Hey, that thing that's impossible in your life tonight that you look at and you say, I don't know how in the world. I really believe God wants this to be done, but I don't see how it can happen. That's the problem. Just trust Him. And you won't know. Hey, there's many a time in life you're going to come to a precipice and you're going to look out and say, well, that next step looks like a doozy. This is going to be difficult. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out. But you know what you have to do? The question comes, hey, do you trust Him? Do you trust Him tonight? Hey, you trust Him enough to believe that He can save your soul for all eternity? Do you trust Him enough tonight to take that step of faith to see Him do that thing in your life that seems impossible, that you look at and say, I don't believe it. I don't know how it could happen. But I really believe God wants it to happen. Will you step out on faith tonight and take action? Just move in that direction. It may be tonight. That's what God's waiting on. Will you just take that step of faith with me tonight? Say, God, we're trusting You to do the impossible with man. But God, we trust it's possible with You. Friend, tonight I want to tell you, it's faith. It's faith. Faith is the key to every part, every area of the Christian life. Faith is the key. This whole Christian life is all about faith. How many times do we find in Scripture where it says the just shall live by faith? He talks about how we shall walk by faith, not by sight. And God doesn't just lay the path out for you and give you everything that's going to happen from here to the end of your life. It's a step-by-step walk of faith. That's what God wants to do in your life. Friend, the moment something really can happen in our life is when we come to the point we can admit what Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse number 5. He's talking about bearing fruit, and He's talking about that it's God's desire and it pleases God that you and I bear much fruit. But then in John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says some very plain words, and hopefully we can commit them to memory. Because He says this, without Me, ye can do nothing. Hey friend, it's a good day in your life and mine when we recognize that fact. God, without You, I can do nothing. Exactly nothing. You know, the Bible says that it's in Him that we live, move, and even have our being. The only reason you can draw breath tonight is because Jesus Christ said so. Friend, without Him, you and I can do nothing. So friend, tonight, will we be willing to admit to that fact and just trust God and say, God, whatever it is You want to do, I'm ready. I'm willing to take that step of faith. And God, I'm going to trust You. God, I don't know how You're going to do it. I don't know what all this is going to entail. But God, I'm ready to step out on faith and trust You. Hey, the necessity of faith tonight is what we're talking about. I want to give you a quote to close out tonight. And this is from A.W. Tozer. He's got many wonderful quotes. But I want you to think about this tonight. This is what he said. He said, God is looking for those with whom He can do the impossible. But then notice the end of this quote. He says, what a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves. Friend, tonight, I want you to ask this question to yourself before we give invitation tonight. And I'll ask this question to me as well. When's the last time you knelt down in prayer and asked God for something that seemed impossible? When's the last time? Did we just ask Him for those simple things that we really feel we can do ourselves? Now, understand, it's God that does anything. But when's the last time you really reached out in faith and asked God for something that seemed impossible? Because let me tell you tonight, that we talked about on Sunday night, the God-glorifying life, that's when God's glorified. You ever had those times in your life where you ask God for something impossible and then you look back after He answers it and you can give God the glory? Hey, I don't know how many times I've told that story about God bringing about for me to be able to be in full-time ministry. And you know why I do that? Because it gives God the glory for what He was able to do. I had no part in that. There wasn't a single thing I did but get down on my knees and beg God to put me in full-time ministry. That's all I did. It was God that brought it to pass. And friend, every time I tell that story, I give the glory and the honor to God. And so many other things down through the course of my life I can point to and I can say, that right there, it seemed impossible. And I don't know how in the world it was going to happen, but God did it. And friend, that's when God's glorified in our lives. So can I challenge you tonight? Will you bow your head tonight as we have a moment of invitation, and will you ask God for something tonight? And I'm not saying sit here tonight and let's ask God for $1 million. Hey, I hope we're not foolish enough to do that tonight. Hey, I hope we're not that one that's asking amiss to consume it upon our own lusts. But as we discern the will of God in our lives, and as He speaks to our heart through His Word, what is that thing He's working in your heart about that seems impossible, that He wants to do? Would you ask Him for it tonight? Would you trust Him for it tonight? With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand to our feet tonight.